American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy, brought to you from the Internet for Monday, November 19th, 2007. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the Wild Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for Your Headspace and Timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are as well. You can follow up on all of these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can still get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rand Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, and Radio Red Mercury. And if you yourself would like to set up your own showcast station, keep the internet free, make sure that people have alternative media, don't hate the media, become the media. If you would like to do that, or perhaps you know somebody who is doing that, maybe you know someone who runs a shortwave radio station, maybe you know somebody who is just involved in multimedia on some level, there's lots of people who've gone out there. You're free to distribute the show any way that you see fit. You can do anything you want with it. You can hand it out, you can make remixes of it. Doesn't bother me at all. And that's true for all my newsreel shows. It's never really an issue. Mind you, there might be some other people who have some problems with some of the things that I may say. So be advised, this is probably could be considered adult content because, you know, after all, hey, I say some naughty words. But, you know, it's like what Colonel Kurtz said at the end of Apocalypse Now. We can't write fuck on the wings of the planes because it's obscene while we're dropping fire on people. Kind of bizarre when you think about it. But let's start off the show. Got some feedback. Feedback is always appreciated. Dear Sean, here's something I don't believe you've discussed before, but I think it's worth spending a few minutes on. Here are three reasons every WOG should own and ride a bicycle. A bicycle. We all spend too much time in front of the screen. I know I do. Bicycling is a great way to get in shape. It's a good cardio workout. It's unbeatable for building lower body strength. It's not too shabby on the upper body either. It's good for the earth. If you're going down to the store, down the street, don't use your car. Bikes can take shortcuts that cars can't. If you're not spewing all sorts of crap into the air, bikes can also carry a lot of stuff. If you don't have a trailer, you can carry 300 pounds of lumber. If you have a trailer, you can carry 300 pounds of lumber, no problem, on a bike. If you're going less than 2 miles, the only reason you have to drive are snow and laziness. Number three, when oil hits $300 a gallon, you won't be able to afford to drive to work. Get into the habit of bicycling because one day you may have to. And that was sent in by Sig. Well, if gas hits $300 a barrel, it's the after now. I'd rather plan for a more mechanized future myself. But, I mean, I could see the advantage of cycling. Cycling is an awesome, you know, backup. And you know what? Hey, he's not wrong. I mean, it is amazing exercise. I mean, it is very, very good exercise. It's, you know, if like, let's be real. If you're obese, and you know if you're a fat guy, you know, if you're obese, you're not going to start getting anywhere by running. I mean, you can go for a walk around the block and stuff like that, but it's pretty hard on the joints, especially if, you know, your top level is, you know, if you're pushing, like, you know, 100 pounds over your weight limit. Cycling may be the way to go, but still, it's going to be awkward. Anything you do is going to be very, very hard, but it's interesting. It's an interesting point. I'm not a big bike guy myself. I enjoy bikes. I think they're cool and everything, but I'm not... I'd rather get, you know, like a little, you know, motor scooter or something like that. Maybe a motorized skateboard. I'd be a little bit more into that. But biking is very cool. I know some people are heavy, heavy into it. And that's why I read your letter. However, Sig, you're not wrong. Not wrong, buddy. There's nothing wrong with learning how to cycle. And, hey, I'm sure there's a lot of... How many WOGs out there bike? I mean, really. Let's get some feedback on this. How many people actively use cycles every day? I mean, if you live in an urban environment... It makes more sense to cycle. It really does. Because, I mean, you're going, like, what, 20 blocks, 30 blocks? Trying to drive in the city is becoming a freaking nightmare. You can't get anywhere in the city. It's a bitch to park. If you do park, you got to pay for it, right? Though the downside is, of course, that your, you know, bike can get stolen. So I'm sure there's a whole variety of really groovy, funky bike locks and technology you can use to secure your kit. But it is interesting to comment on the whole cycling thing. So if you cycle, I'd like to know about it. We'll talk about it. Maybe for people in foreign countries, like in Sweden, how's that going over there? How's it going in England? Lots of people cycle in England. Maybe some countries have better bikes than other countries. Maybe that's something we could do. We could try to sort out a way that WOGs could talk to each other, which would be good. I wound up in the Philosomatica web forums the other day. If you, I don't know if you've ever checked those guys out. I mean, Rant Radio is you know, the love of my life. I love Rant Radio forever. But it's always neat to have a different mix of music. It's always good to support other independent media that's out there. I mean, if you're listening to this show, you probably enjoy independent media. And you know what? I think that, I don't know, just for the last couple of years, Psytrance has really been, you know, music that I can get into. And after you listen to Psytrance for a while, I don't know. It's just like you can't really go back, you know? You just can't go back to regular music. I find it very, very difficult. Now, that's not to say I don't enjoy music. Hey, I still like my Pink Floyd. I still like Rolling Stones. I still like, you know, Porn on Beta. I still like Nine Inch Nails. I still like all those bands. I think they're great. But I'm just saying that, you know, it's interesting to have some different ideas. I like music that doesn't have words sometimes. Sometimes I'm really into sampling, too. But, you know, there it is. So, anyway, just something to talk about, you know, something to say. Music rules, no matter what you listen to. I've just been thinking that it'd be interesting to try to spread the community around, trying to get, I don't know, a little bit more comms going on, you know, a little bit more sharing happening, because it is going to be a question of how we can work together, not adversity. It's not about winning and beating somebody else. It's about winning together as a team. That's the whole idea with the counterculture. We've got to get together on this thing. We've got to stop ripping each other's faces off because we disagree about, you know, minor points. Dear Sean, as for your latest sorted yourself out on Monday's show, I think it's a great purpose. A great purpose in life is love. Last show, I was talking about the purpose of life is love. As an atheist, I find love is the answer for most of the questions in my heart. That's all he wrote here. Now, the interesting thing is that the Bible says, I know that the atheists get all excited when you bring up the Bible, but it does say that God is love. So if the atheists can go for love and the Christians can go for love, look at that, common ground, no more reasons to yell at each other. And I'm sure that if we were to talk to some, you know, Muslims, hey, I'm sure they're into love too. I'm sure the Jews, everybody enjoys love. Nobody is against romance. Love is all you need. Really, all you need is love. Love gives you wings. It's awful. Love lifts you up where you belong. It's true. And I'm a big believer in love. A lot of people, they go, oh, well, you know, nah, can't all just be mohawks and cyber claws all the time, man. You got to have room in your life for love. You got to have some sort of room in your life for commitment. You got to have some sort of room in your life for, you know, someone you care about. Let's get past, you know, all the other bullshit. I'm just going to be like, well, yeah, and there's this and that and the other thing. And mankind is not designed to be a single man. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, you know, whatever, man. All I'm saying is that everybody has to make a decision and try to choose the right path for themselves. But if that path doesn't involve, you know, any kind of love or sacrifice for someone that you care about, and there's someone who cares about you in return. I'm not into unrequited love. I don't like love that isn't reciprocated. But I think that love is a very important thing, you know? And that's something that sometimes that gets pushed over. Everything's all, you know, sex and rockets and wall-to-wall blowjobs. You don't need that. You need to make sure you got a little bit of love in there, because at the end of the day, love is very, very important. Trust me on this one. I know what I'm talking about. Dear Sean, for a long time, I've been meaning to donate to Rant Radio, and I've listened to all the archives. Well, good. I'm glad. I've heard the patrolling. I've heard all the what the hell, all the Sean Kennedy show, all the patrolling, you name it. I've listened to the archive of it. I'm now working through all the newsreel archives. I'm 19. Holy crap. And until recently, I've had a job as a janitor. Being alone, cleaning things up at night has been facilitating my goal of listening to all the archives. It's a good time to think, you know. You got to sort yourself out. I just want to let you know that you made a huge impact in how I live my life, and I wish I had more money so that I could give it to you and Rant Radio. However, I don't have quite that much money. Recently, I purchased your book, Scab Wings of Abaddon, and I read it. I read the PDF before, and it was one of my favorite books of all time. I found that reading the actual hard copy to be an almost spiritual experience for me, which is funny, because Scab Wings of Abaddon is based in the lands of the dead, so it's kind of a pun there. All in all, I just want to let you know that I think what you do is worthwhile, and to thank you. I cannot seem to get the time to listen to newsreel, to listen to a live stream, but I'm only showing 30-somethings. But I'm only on show 30-something of Newsreel. Well, you got a ways to go. I will keep spreading the virus. Your brother in arms, Hex. Well, Hex, you know what, man? If you can't donate to the show, What you should do is, while you're working at night, and you see any security guards out there, you see people who are out at night, walking around at night, who've got MP3 players and iPods, whatever else they're listening to, give them copies of the show. Give them discs full of the show. Burn it, give it to them. Tell them where, write the web address on the disc so where they can get more. Give it to people. If you cannot donate to the show because you're broke, that's cool, man. I totally understand that. More than you possibly know, I understand that. But, hey, there's no reason why you can't say, hey, man, you should check this out. This guy knows what he's doing. He's funny. He's kind of an idiot, and he makes me laugh. And more than anything else, he makes the time pass. So you know what? Hey, if I can entertain some people, and for all you security guards out there, for all you people working the night shift out there, for the third of the population that's considered to be the unknowables, the untouchables, the unseeables who work at night and are forgotten, for all those people that are through the cracks, for all those people that, you know, you can feel the eyes of other people judging you as you do whatever job you have, although you work harder than everybody else, you make less money, I know who you are. I know your pain. And these shows are for you. Be it right, be it wrong, no matter what I say here, it's honestly what I think. I try to tell the truth as much as I can. Sometimes I change my mind. I go back and forth. Sometimes I think, because people are like that. There's very few things in life that are absolute. I mean, there's a few things that are absolute, you know, like, you know, shooting pedophiles. That's an absolute thing that needs to be done. But beyond that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's flexible. There's a lot of stuff, you know, I believe that there is good and evil. I think there is good and evil. It's a very small margin of good and a very small margin of evil, and everything else is just style, but I do believe in good and evil. And I think that if we can band together and promote unity and fellowship and maybe a little bit of compassion for each other, I think that that is good, not evil. So that's just me. But thank you very much for spreading the virus hex. Dear Sean, as per your request, I'll try to keep this short. Much appreciated. I've decided you probably get enough praise, although I'm a big fan, love your work, so I'll leave that out. Well, I never get enough praise, really. I mean, you know, I can sit here and listen to people tell me I rule all day. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. Feedback. Directional chaos. Which is good. He's got it all subheaded out here. I like the short ones here. I find the idea of directional chaos increasingly interesting and important on account of a few projects I'm working on. I can tell you more if you're interested, but I know you're a busy man, so no worries. I was wondering if you could shed some more light on the subject. I know you mentioned it before on the show. I've read your work, but any other additional information would be useful. Well, on the directional chaos thing, what directional chaos is, for those of you paying attention to playing the home game, directional chaos is the concept where it's like, let's say we have 10 people, okay? And rather than having 10 people all try to throw a ball through a hole together, you get 10 people throwing balls at holes different ways, and eventually it gets where it needs to go. For example, if you got, like, trying to get to space, although you might have 30 countries trying to get to space, they're all using different approaches, and maybe even these countries are at war with each other, they're all moving in a general direction, like a huge ball of chaos. That whole ball of chaos is moving towards a certain goal. That's what the whole concept of directional chaos is. Okay, so although it doesn't look like a straight line, it looks like a windy, curvy, sort of festering ball of action. That whole ball of action is rolling in a certain direction, and I think that's what's happening with our culture right now. I mean, if you look at England, you look at China, you look at America, you look at the population densities and how long totalitarian government has had in order to institute certain policies, you'll notice that government is learning from government. And they're instituting this thing where they make it feel like it's your choice. You're democratically elected. Don't ever forget that Hitler was democratically elected. Don't ever forget that. Vegetarian guy, democratically elected, was supposed to save the fatherland, and look what he did. First thing he did, set up the camps. You know, I mean, it's... Well, actually, that wasn't the first thing you did. You know, I mean, you should read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich if you want to know what's going on there, because that's a very, especially now today, if man, you know, if you want to understand, if anyone wants recommended media, read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, okay? Very, very important book. Very important book to understand. They don't teach it in school in North America anymore. Very, very difficult. And as we know, those who do not, know the past are doomed to repeat it. Now, the directional chaos thing is very useful, and I understand what you're saying. But if you want more information about directional chaos, if you want to get involved, if you have projects that you're working on projects on your own, trying to start reinvent the wheel, is not a good idea. Okay, you're gonna wind up getting yourself frustrated. You have to work with people. It's important in this day and age that we're independent, but we also have to be interdependent, which means that you can work as a team with other people. And one of the great organizations that's doing that right now is EmpowerThyself.com. Alex over there is running himself a really good shop. He's got a lot of people involved, and in the next year, 2 years, EmpowerThyself.com is going to be a force to be reckoned with. They don't have any of the bullshit that like Facebook or Google or any of those guys got going on. But let me tell you, the people who are involved with that organization are top notch. And they're all using the concepts of directional chaos to get where our culture, the human race, the planet needs to go if we hope to survive this. The nice thing is, and this is a great thing about Alex, Alex was really is a big guy into, you know, a lot of really woggish kind of stuff. He's been to Burning Man a billion times. Is a part of the apocalypse groups, you know, the Death Guild guys. He hangs with that crowd. He really does, you know, I tell you, if the world ended tomorrow for Alex, it would be Thursday. He's one of those kind of guys who could just keep on trucking no matter what. And that's important. It's important. He's committed to what they're doing. And even if he was to get hit by a bus tomorrow, with the right people in EmpowerThyself.com, the kind of people he's got in there, he needs more. It's not like he's got, you know, the elite guard and everybody follows them and there's rank structure. No, he's got a revolutionary way of doing things, utilizing concepts like directional chaos. And I'm here to tell you, that's an organization you should get involved with. He goes on with his letter here. I'm going back to the letter now. If you happen to put this on the show, which I did, I should mention that the show was brought to my attention by the Swedish train conductor guy who gave you Psytrance recommendations a while back, who also happens to be a close friend of mine. Well, that's what it's about, you see? You see, that's what it is. It's about spreading the virus. It's about getting people talking. You know, one plus one plus one. That's all it is. That's all it is. If you only tell like one person a week about the show, maybe one of those people on week like 37 is the person who tells 10,000. And then slowly the ideas, the concepts, and everything starts to amass. And very, very slowly we can start to raise awareness and maybe even win this thing. You know what I mean? Maybe try to change. Maybe seize back our world. You know, as Ice-T said in Johnny Mnemonic, snatch your brain back, zombie, snatch it back and hold it. He goes on to say, and yes, I too am Swedish. Well, I'm big in Sweden. Keep it up, man. I will. Best regards, Patrick. Oh, I did miss one part here. It says, lastly, I missed this other part here. I'd like to recommend a very interesting two-part documentary called Big Sugar. Now, this is in the recommended media section of the show, so I wanted to cover that. It speaks about how the sugar industry, to this day, uses slaves to cut sugarcane in the Dominican Republic. That's right, but, you know, no one wants to talk about that. Slavery in the Dominican Republic? No, no, no. How soft drinks fatten kids in America, etc. The film itself can be acquired at Mininoma or other BitTorrent trackers. I have taken the liberty of finding a nice acquirable source for you to get it from, and all you gotta do is go to the sean_kennedy.livejournal.com, click on the Rec Media section, and you will then be able to download the show. Very good to watch, good to understand. Sugar is one of the great white deaths of our world. And you gotta understand that, I know, it's difficult. It's nice to turn on the TV. It's nice to just think that life is all a giant Coke commercial. It's nice, you know, to think that you could teach the world to sing and you could just sit there and play Grand Theft Auto and you're gonna think, oh, well, you know, hey, I don't know about you. I was playing one of these video games, you know, it just came out and they're talking about, they got this gun cam footage. They have a level in the game called Death from Above. And you're like flying along in a Spectre gunship firing a 105 down on people, you know? And the way the game is shot, it's all done in night vision. And if you go look at, like, YouTube and look at gun camera footage, I found the game really disturbing. And maybe I'm just getting old. I don't know. Maybe I don't understand it. But, like, games like Quake and Doom and stuff like that, you had a nail gun. You know, with these new games, man, like, that particular one, like, okay, running around a video game, shooting and stuff like that, it's nothing like real combat. But for some reason, that particular part of the game I found really disturbing. I'm not saying the game's a bad game. Fantastic game. I mean, war is a very disturbing thing. But it's interesting. It's interesting when you see that. I know the people out there know what game I'm talking about. And I don't feel a real, you know, urge to promote. To be honest with you, I can't remember the name of it right now. But I played it the other day. It was on the Xbox. I'll tell you, man. Wow. Video games these days are getting crazy. You know, they really are. But let's carry on here. Let's carry on. There's, you know, I often think of ways to try to think outside of the box, you know, any box, not just the Xbox, any box. Okay, it's very important that we think of a way to deal with, you know, the problems we have. One of the things I like to do is I don't like fighting with people. I don't enjoy that. So, you know, I like what the American forefathers did. They didn't like what was going on, so they left. Where do we go? It's a small planet. It's very round. We discovered all the islands. So what is left? There is no place that is not under some other government's rule. So occasionally I'll start, you know, thinking about building like a sea community, like a latching of boats and stuff like that. And then I heard about this dude down in the States who took a down in the Bahamas or something. He built an artificial island. He used like pop bottles and stuff like that. Put it in the water, and that's what he did. He made like this big floating sort of barrage of plastic water bottles and made it into an island. And eventually what happened was the island was too small. Storm came up, sank his island. So much for that. But it's a very, very interesting concept. And that, you know, is one of the reasons why I wanted to cover the first story in Plastic Island News. Now, this was sent to me by Jibcat. Thank you very much, Jibby. At a start of the Academy Award-winning movie American Beauty, a character videotapes a plastic ghostry bag as it drifts into the air, an event he casts as a symbol of life's unpredictable occurrence, and declares the romantic movement as the most beautiful thing. There. Okay. To the eyes of an oceanographer, the image is pure catastrophe. In reality, a rogue bag would float into a sewer, follow the storm drain to an ocean, and then make its way to the so-called Great Pacific Garbage Patch. A heap of debris floating in the Pacific. Now, I didn't know about this, but apparently there is a cumulative heap of debris, which is plastic and floats, in the Pacific Ocean that is twice the size of Texas, according to marine biologists. I didn't know that. That's huge. That's bigger than England, I think. Isn't it? It's twice the size of Texas. Is that bigger than England? I would think it would be. I'm not too sure. I don't have a map in front of me. But, you know, it's pretty big. Anyway, twice the size of Texas. An enormous stew of trash, which consists of 80% plastic and weighs some 3.5 million tons, says oceanographers. It floats where people... in no man's land between San Francisco and Hawaii. Very, very interesting. Marcus Erickson, Director of Research and Education at the Algatha Marine Research Foundation in Long Beach, said his group has been monitoring the garbage patch for 10 years. With the winds blowing in and the currents in the gyre going circular, it's the perfect environment for trapping. There's nothing we can do about it now except do no more harm. The patch has been growing, along with ocean debris worldwide, tenfold every decade since the 50s, said Chris Perry, Public Education Program Manager with the California Coastal Commission in San Francisco. The ocean current patterns may keep the float SAM stashed in part of the world few will ever see, but the majority of its content is generated onshore, according to the reports from Greenpeace last year titled Plastic Debris in the World's Ocean. The report found that 80% of the ocean's litter originated on land, while ships drop the occasional load of shoes or hockey gloves into the water, really weird, sometimes on purpose and illegally, the vast majority of sea garbage begins its journey as onshore trash. That's what makes a potentially toxic swamp like the garbage patch entirely preventable. At this point, cleaning it up isn't an option. It's just going to get bigger as our reliance on plastics continues. The long-term solution is to stop producing as much plastic products at home and change our consumption habits. Now, this is interesting because I'm thinking to myself, I was looking at that, you know, artificial island, and I'm thinking, well, what if you were to just, you know, if it's that big, what if you were to use nets, like go take some drift nets or something like that, that you can also, it's probably loaded with that stuff too. I mean, there's all kinds of abandoned drift nets and all this kind of stuff. And what if you were to net it? You know, instead of adding more to it, you just netted it all together so it became a very, very dense island. Something you could stand on. Something you could walk on. Something that parts of it would be dry. You know, if it's plastic and it's garbage, maybe there's a way that we could somehow, I don't know, in some way kind of terraform it. Maybe make it into an actual island. A floating sort of, I don't know, a place where people could go. Wouldn't that be interesting? I imagine the smell is fantastic out there. But, I mean, let's understand what we got here. We do have something that floats that's twice the size of Texas. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity there. Even if you compressed it so it's something you could walk on, and it did stink, maybe after a while it wouldn't stink anymore. Maybe after a while it would sort of naturalize, and you could do something with it. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. Terraforming garbage? It's an interesting idea. And speaking of terraforming, how about some off-world news? This is part of just this past weekend, a group of 66 Japanese astronomers gathered to discuss the proper course of action to take in the event of a signal from extraterrestrial intelligence that is discovered. Now, this is an interesting thing because more and more people are talking about aliens and how aliens are like a reality. The astronomers, who met specifically to determine which national authorities to notify after receiving an alien signal, failed to reach a decision before the meeting was adjourned. Interesting, they're just trying to figure out who to talk to about it. According to the Declaration of Principles Concerning Activities Following the Detection of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, a set of guidelines adopted by the International Astronomical Union, and other international astronomy organizations, the discovery of an alien signal is strictly prohibited from informing the general public until he/she verifies that the signal is extraterrestrial in origin. Well, that's understood. You got to make sure that you're not, you know, lying. Informs other observers or research organizations involved so they can independently observe and monitor the signal and notifies the relevant national authorities. So you don't want to just go off half-cocked and telling people that, hey, we found aliens. Well, maybe we should. You know, I mean, if they're out there and they're watching, I'd like to know about it. While these guidelines have existed for nearly 20 years, the Japanese SETI community has never formally discussed who exactly Japan's relevant national authority is until this weekend's conference. The meeting was held at the Nishi Harima Astronomical Observatory in Hyogo Prefecture, which in the past several years has been using a 2-meter Nyuta telescope, Japan's largest, to search the heavens for high-intensity laser pulses sent out by way of an extraterrestrial civilization attempting to communicate. I mean, maybe there's other ways for extraterrestrials to communicate. Maybe, I don't know, I'd like to think that, you know, if there is extraterrestrials, maybe they're not so dependent upon technology as we are, or maybe their technology has evolved to the point that they don't no longer need to have machines. Maybe they can travel on, like, I don't know, psychically or something. It's a thought. It's a thought. At the meeting, the National Astronomical Observatory of Japan, NAOJ, and the Ministry of Internal Affairs and Communications were named as possible relevant national authorities. But some participants rejected these nominations and called the IOU's adopted guidelines into question by repeatedly warning that government authorities might cover the truth up and given a monopoly over the information. Well, you think? You think that's possible? I guarantee they're not going to. What do you suppose is going to happen? Like, okay, what would happen if 9/11 was recognized to be a hoax? I mean, we all know there was a controlled demolitions on 9/11. It was Building 7. They've admitted it, that it was controlled demolitions of Building 7. What they haven't admitted is that the other two buildings were also controlled demolitions. And, you know, but if it ever came out that, like, the whole thing was just a big Reichstag so we could get over there and get involved in the sandbox war, I mean, if they were to admit that, what would that do to the American government? What would that do to the American people? I mean, when Kennedy got shot, they were afraid of letting people know that it was the CIA was involved with that because no one would believe in America anymore. Well, I'm here to tell you, once they realize, and it will happen, people will realize that, yeah, 9/11 was an inside job. Once they know that, man, it's going to break America's heart. It really is, you know, and it's sick. It's sick, and, you know, when I think about how that must hurt the true patriots of America to see what has happened to their country, I kind of understand a little bit by why Hunter Thompson shot himself. I really do. In the end, the astronomers agreed to form, it goes on to say here, in the end, the astronomers agreed to form a working group to study the issue, and they plan to announce their discussion in 2009, which has been named the International Year of Astronomy. Oh. Should aliens establish contact in Japan before then, it will be up to the discoverer to decide who to notify. Well, if you're in Japan right now and you're listening to the show, which, hey, I wonder if there is anybody in the show listening in Japan. Hey, any Japanese people out there, drop me an email, newsreel@randradio.com, please. I'd like to know if anyone in Japan listens to the show, because, you know, I'm big in Sweden. It'd be nice to know if some people in Japan listen to the show. Aside from that, you know for a fact that if I hear about any aliens, you know, and anybody in Japan tells me about aliens, baby, you know that I'm not going to hold out on you. You know for a fact that I'm going to be the guy who comes out, yeah, I'll go down in history as a dude who broke government rule and said, yeah, I'll tell the world about aliens. Fucking right. I think that none of my fans are getting eaten by lizard people. I know that much, you know. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people. I don't know. You know, what do you guys think? Do you think aliens would be friendly or not? You know, I mean, you look at the natural order of things. Things that are more powerful than other things sometimes don't really feel too malevolent. Maybe the aliens might be like an insect, you know, race or something. Maybe they wouldn't be too friendly. I don't know. It's an interesting concept. I mean, if they're anything like humans, would we want to meet them? You know, I mean, it's a question that begs to be asked. Now, especially with what we're doing with our technology, you know, especially, you know, when you consider what humans are like, which leads us to our next news story, sent in by Wyandi. Thank you very much. In Terminator news, BAE Systems Black Knight is a formidable weapon on the battlefield. And what is that? In early October, Daily Tech brought you the story of Foster Miller's MARS, Modular Advanced Arm Robotics System. The MARS follows in the footsteps of previously battlefield robots like the Red Owl, Pakbok, and the SUGV Early. The 300-pound MARS, on the other hand, has brought serious firepower technology to the table. The MARS features an M240B medium machine gun and uses GPS tracking to reduce the risk of friendly fire. Doesn't get rid of it, just, you know, reduces the risk. While the Mars is an impressive piece of machinery, BA Systems is taking Battlefield Robots to the next level with its Black Knight. That's a Battlefield Robot. The Black Knight is a semi-autonomous 9.5-ton tank based on the Bradley fighting vehicle. This reminds me of the, not the hunter-killer droids from Terminator, but the large tank things. The Black Knight can be controlled from the traditional commander station or by remote control via dismounted control devices. Due to its advanced programming, the Black Knight can also autonomously plan routes and avoid obstacles without user intervention. When it comes to Black Knight's armament, human intervention is required to fire rounds. Thankfully, for now. Considering that the Black Knight is armed with a 30mm gun and a coaxial machine gun, it's good to know what this tank won't be rolling around firing at that anything that moves. Yet. And that is what they're telling us in the newspaper. So if you believe everything you read, might be dangerous there. BAA Systems detailed how admirably the Black Knight performs during a demonstration early in 2007. While the Bradley technology demonstrator was engaged in an enemy target for cover in a support by fire position, the Black Knight was able to autonomously move to a cover position, observe the target using its sensor package, and provide battle damage assessment back to the Bradley, explained BAE Systems. If the enemy target needs to be re-engaged, the Black Knight could effectively neutralize the target, and command to fire would always be made by a remote soldier only after the data necessary to make a positive identification has been received. So right now, there's a safety switch where a meat bot called a human soldier goes, hey, yeah, that's the bad guys, let him up! Let him up, you know. There's no reason why you couldn't have armies of them with one guy controlling two or three of these things. And they just send in queue saying, you know, hit it, don't hit it, hit it, don't hit it, hit it, don't hit it. And eventually, you know, there's he'll be able to control multiple. So they're going to get by the whole Geneva Convention by saying, no, robots aren't killing people. Humans are still killing other humans. Don't worry. We got it all under control here. Maybe years before such potent machinery is available for use on actual battlefields, however. But it may be not much longer than now. Why do you think they're dumping all of this tech into battlefield, robots so they can hold off? Why do you suppose they're putting all this tech into it? Well, they're going to make sure more testing. Why? So it won't kill people? That's its job. That is its job. They want robots to be deployed so we can stop losing American lives and we could dominate other people with our robot soldiers. What a great plan. Then all it's about is just about the spin, right? All we got to do is get kids who aren't afraid to press buttons to be able to pile these robots and, you know, paste whatever people are in the way. That's why games where they got that death from above thing, I found it just really desensitizing. War is not a good thing. War is very serious business. It's not a game. And when they take the suffering of people and make it entertaining like that, I don't know, it just... Something about that game really kind of, that particular level, not the whole game, just that level, just affected me for some reason. I don't really understand it. Now, in mercenary news, this was sent in by Ad Nauseam, and good story too. A Defense Department contract involving anti-drug training missions may test the durability of political controversy over Blackwater's worldwide security work in Iraq. Interesting. The Mohawk NC Company, which was involved in September shooting in Baghdad, the Mohawk NC Company, which was involved in September shootings in Baghdad that left 17 Iraqis dead, is one of five military contractors competing for as much as $15 billion over 5 years to help fight a narcotics trade that the government says finances terrorist groups. So what does that mean? That means that Blackwater and other private mercenaries are going to get involved with the war on drugs. Yes. What are they going to do with the contractors who are in Iraq right now who are just, you know, indiscriminately shooting people? Now, there are some good contractors, don't get me wrong, but there are some bad ones. I think the army should be involved with that. Having mercenary companies, which are, you know, their own entities where they've got these guys, you know, contract out to start, you know, doing our police work, private policing, private soldiers in the war on drugs. I don't know, kind of makes my spider sense tingle. Very, very interesting. Also competing for contracts in the Pentagon's counter-narco-terrorism technology program are military industry giants Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman Group, as well as Arinic Inc., a smaller aerospace technology contractor. Now, this is interesting. We got competition. It's not just Blackwater anymore. The contracts are expected to be awarded as the need arises. So the Pentagon's level of concern about employing Blackwater will likely be measured over time and whether the company wins leading roles or is shut out. Companies competing for the work might be called in to develop detection or surveillance technology, train U.S. and foreign forces to provide logistics, communications, and information technology systems, among other areas. Blackwater faces the question of whether it is too tainted to be tapped for such work, even though the contract doesn't involve the kind of security detail which it performs in Iraq. The September shooting of Baghdad strained relations between Washington and Iraqi government, which alleged the shooting was unnecessary. It gets so convoluted, you know, I swear to God, the bullshit must pile up so fast in Iraq, you must fucking need wings to stay above that shit. It's got to be really, like, nobody really knows what's going on over there, except for the soldiers that are going on over there, but I'll get to them, don't worry, I got a story about the desert war coming up. The company, formerly known as Blackwater USA, now they're Blackwater, just Blackwater, because now they're, you know, based out of Saudi Arabia, maintains that the ability to win additional government business hasn't been affected by the scrutiny of Congress and the State Department, the Justice Department. Blackwater spokeswoman Anne Tyrell says, Tyrell, interesting name, same name as the guys in Blade Runner, the Tyrell Corporation, said customers have confidence in our ability to perform in a capable and professional manner. Yes, that's true. They haven't lost one of their principals in Iraq yet. Peter Singer, a senior fellow of the Brookings Institute in Washington, said Blackwater's troubles are not a death knell for the company, but said this extremely public kind of controversy certainly isn't much for helping in the winning of contracts. I personally, I'm not too sure I enjoy the idea of having, you know, private mercenaries involved in the war on drugs. The war on drugs, as we currently understand it, is kind of a psychotic thing anyway. So, you know, there's probably a few things about that I'd like to change. Very, very interesting stuff. Something that we should definitely be aware of as, you know, the Shadowrun corporations start bringing on their own street samurais and start kicking them back into the world. Now, in Singularity News, this was sent in by Bucky Fuller, interesting story. A network of artificial nerves is growing in a Swiss supercomputer, meant to simulate a natural brain cell for cell. The researchers at work on Blue Brain promises new insights into sources of human consciousness. This is some bleeding-edge shit. The machine is beautiful as it wakes up. The machine is beautiful as it wakes up. Nerve cells flicker on the screen in soft pastel tones. Electrical charges flash through a maze of synapses. The brain, just after being switched on, seems a little sleepy, but gentle bursts of current bring it to life fully. This unprecedented piece of hardware consists of about 10,000 computer chips that act like real nerve cells to simulate a natural brain. Part of the cerebral cortex of young rats was painstakingly replicated in a computer cell by cell, together with the branch tree-like structure of the synapses. This simulation was created at the Technical University in Lausanne, Switzerland, where 35 researchers participate in maintaining this artificial brain. I wonder if it listens to Newsreel. And runs on one of the world's most powerful supercomputers, but soon even that computer will be too small. The goal is to build a much bigger electronic thinking machine that would ultimately replicate the human brain. Wow. Wow. What happens when this thing learns how to code itself? I mean, holy crap. You guys should go check out the Singularity Summit of 2007. This could be it. Markham knows about the problem his group can look forward to, but if we don't build the brain, we'll never understand how it works. In fact, there have been tremendous advances in brain research over for years, but answers to big questions are still elusive as ever. How does consciousness develop within an electrical orchestra of cells? How does the spark of intellect ignite from interplanetary among genes, proteins, and messenger substances? I mean, this is some bleeding-edge stuff right here. I find this kind of stuff really exciting on one level, where you think about, you know, hey, this is cool, we got, you know, a brain that's being built, but you got to be aware of it. You know, there's the negative naysayers who say that at best, if the robots take over, we'll be treated as pets. At worst, we'll be treated as food. I don't know. I would kind of hope that we'd be able to program them so that the robots would look at us as, well, gods. I mean, if you think about it, if robots exist, and they knew that their purpose is to serve man and not necessarily on a platter, maybe, you know, we could actually have peace. Maybe we could have robots who do stuff. Maybe the robots could become our willing slaves and we'd be able to, like, actually rescue the planet. Maybe robots are the answer. Maybe we'll be able to think ourselves out of this. I think it's a good idea. I think it's something worth trying for, and that's why I try to encourage people to work with robotics as much as, you know, You can't. I believe robotics is fantastic. Anybody who's out there wants to get into a field of technology, not too sure what to do, dude, look at robotics. I mean, if nothing else, you can make some neat stuff to scare your neighbors. In Dollar Down News. Now, this is a story which is getting no play, was sent to me by Anorexic Pillow. I can't believe this. I heard about this guy a while ago. He's been on different shows. He was on the Art Bell show. He kind of got around. But this is in Dollar Down News from Anorexic Pillow. Now, this was a few days ago, so this story is about 5-6 days old now. But yesterday, so this is all very, very raw, this bleeding edge stuff. The offices of the Liberty Dollar. Now, what the Liberty Dollar is, these are guys who put actual valued money, like actual, the components of the dollar have value, as opposed to paper money, which has no value. These dollars actually have a gold value, okay? But yesterday, the offices of the Liberty Dollar in Evansville, Indiana, were raided by the federal agents stealing over $1 million in gold, silver, copper, and cash. As America's number one private alternative currency, this isn't the first time it's been questioned by the government. I recall just a year ago, the government alluded to the fact that you may be facing jail time for using the Liberty Dollar. The idea of the Liberty Dollar was to bring back sound currency to the American marketplace, backing it with precious metals so the currency would be inflation-free. The Liberty Dollar was a real attempt to provide value to people, a way for people to store and save money they have earned and isn't affected by inflation like the federal banknote. Now, this is a very interesting idea. I was kind of leery of this because, I mean, it's starting to mess around with money. It kind of looks like it could be a ripoff. I don't know enough about economics to really talk about it, but, you know, I didn't know a lot about it. I didn't really discount it, but I just, you know, knew it was there. But seeming that the government doesn't like competition, stomps out any sign of it, the Liberty Dollar was only seen as a threat. Hopefully, this doesn't go as unnoticed as they were hoping. This reminds me of the medical marijuana raids where the cops bust down the door, take all the cash and pot, and never place charges. Very interesting. Just free money and pot for them to profit off of while the business struggles to get back on its feet from the devastating blow. No charges were filed in the case. They just took all the money in the vault and left. Not only did they steal from the business, but all of us who own Liberty Dollars. Very, very true. Not so much if you have silver liberties, seeming that all that those are silver by themselves, but if you have the certificates where the metal is being held in the vault, then you have just been royally fucked. Welcome to the club. Very, very interesting. The government stole all the metal. The government stole all that metal. He'll pay them with certificates, seeming that they'll have the metal backing them now. But I'm working within the system. This scares me to think that we're way too far past that. This was sent to me by NRX Bill. All this is his work. I don't think there's any better example of how the government is forced, and there's no other story that states it so clearly. So what are we to do? For the people out there who got into the Liberty Dollar thing, what are they going to do? There's a class action lawsuit being started over this, but really, what's that going to be the outcome? You can't sue the government. Yes, they're criminals, but they own the fucking courts, so they're untouchable in legal land. Unless Ron Paul gets elected, I think our only choice is to secede from the union. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. What right do they have to steal property of these people? They weren't hurting anyone. Got to protect the monopoly, I guess. Maybe they were afraid of the Liberty Dollar would educate people about the monetary systems like is really like in the States. Apparently, it's okay to print money that has no value, is not backed by anything, but somebody prints honest money backed by silver, it's a crime, says a reporter for RogueGovernment.com. But the Liberty Dollar has been out for 9 years. Why the sudden attack? And that's an interesting point. Some people think it's because of the support of Ron Paul. Interesting. Seeming that Ron Paul coins just came in a day or two before the raid. Others say it's because of a steady decline in the U.S. dollar recently. Now, I'm here to tell you, on the whole Ron Paul thing, I try to stay out of American politics, you know? Smokehouse has got his views. Sumerian, I don't know what his views are. I know her Smokey. Smokey's backing this other dude. But, you know, if I was going to vote for somebody in the United States, I think I'd probably vote for Ron Paul. And, you know, you can vote for who you want to, but if anyone was going to ask, who's Sean Kennedy voting for? I'd vote for Ron Paul. And yeah, I think if you follow his policies, I mean, they're all crooks anyway, you know. I mean, it's pretty negative. It's hard. I know you're not supposed to be negative, but this Ron Paul guy, he seems like he might have a few good ideas. Some of his ideas scare the hell out of me. But, you know, it's kind of the devil you know versus the devil you don't. And, Smokey, I'm sorry, that guy you're for, I looked at some of his ads and some of his campaigns. That dude looks as suspicious as hell. I just don't trust him. Maybe Ron Paul is the best candidate. Maybe he is. I don't think Rudy Giuliani is, I'll tell you that much. You know, Barack Obama, don't know anything about him. Democrats kind of freak me out. Maybe Hillary would be a good choice. She wants to get universal health care. I mean, any candidate who wants universal health care, you know, Ron Paul, I don't think he's into the universal health care thing, but I know Hillary was because she was in charge of that shit. It's a sticky situation right now. It's a sticky situation right now. I know Jell-O doesn't like Hillary. I know that. But maybe Ron's the choice. I don't know. I guess if the ballot was today and I was going to check a box today, it'd probably be Ron Paul, you know? But this thing with the Liberty Dollar, that's an interesting one. I never thought that anyone would really take them seriously enough to attack them, but apparently they did. In unauthorized thought process news, and this was sent to me by Misanthropic Gods. Now, this is quite the story. Now, of course, they're going to start with this by saying, oh, isn't this wonderful? This is so great. We helped this poor guy. He's paralyzed. Well, check this out. Scientists say they may be on the brink of translating into words the thoughts of a man who can no longer speak after a pioneering experiment. Electrodes have been implanted into the brain of Eric Ramsey, who has been locked in, conscious but paralyzed, since a car crash 8 years ago. Wow. Solitary confinement much. These have been recording pulses in areas of the brain involved in speech. Now, New Scientist Mind magazine reports they are to use those signals he generates to derive speech software. Although the data is still being analyzed, researchers at Boston University believe they can correctly identify the sound Mr. Ramsey's brain is imagining some 80% of the time, which is probably something like, oh, shit! In the next few weeks, a computer will start the task of translating his thoughts into sounds. We hope that it will be a breakthrough, says Joe Wright of Neural Signals, which helped develop the technology. Conversations is what we're hoping for, but we're pretty far from that. Experts in the field of neuroscience agreed that it was an exciting advance. It hasn't come completely out of the blue, said Professor Jarrett Rees, a neuroscientist at the University College of London. We have been moving towards decoding primitive vocabulary for a while now, but there's certainly an interesting development, although an invasive techniques where something is out of someone's... But this is certainly an interesting development, although invasive techniques where something is out in someone's brain, such as these, will, of course, carry risks, which is a very bizarre statement. That was a quote from what he said, meaning that if you put implants in people's heads, you know, there's going to be certain risks involved with that, which there are. Reading people's minds remains a far-off proposed prospect, however. But the truth is that they're working on it. I mean, it's in beta right now, but let's give this 5 years. It won't be long before they'll be able... I'm afraid of the lie detectors of 2020, let me tell you that. Now, in bullet time news, Bruce McNaughton, a professor of psychology and physiology, and his colleague David Austin have shown that during sleep, the reactivated memories of real-time experiences are processed within the brain at a higher rate of speed. The rate can be as much as 6 or 7 times faster and what McNaughton calls thought speed. Memory stores patterns and activity in modular form of the cortex. Different modules of cortex processes, different kinds of information, sound, light, sight, taste, smells, etc. The cortex sends these networks of activity to a region called the hippocampus. The hippocampus then creates and assigns a tag, kind of a temporary barcode that is unique to every memory and sends a signal back to the cortex. Each module in the cortex uses the tag to retrieve its own part of the activity. A memory of having lunch, for example, would involve a number of modules, each which might record where the diner sat, what was served, the noise level in the restaurant, or the financial transaction to pay for the meal. It goes on to talk about this, but when you remember all this, you don't have to do it in real time. And this leads to a concept I've had where I've noticed in a fist fight, I've been in a few fights, and when you're in a high dramatic situation, and a lot of people, you know, on Killing on Combat, they talk about this concept, where they can slow down time using their mind. Now, it may just be a perception, but if you can accelerate your mind to move faster than, you know, normal, therefore you slow down time. If you can get your body to be in shape enough and healthy enough so your reaction time can match your brain power, isn't it possible that you'll be able to do the bullet time thing? Now, this may sound insane to you, but I propose that it could be possible. This could be an amazing method of practicing time distortion using mental powers. And this isn't so far... This guy's theory backs this stuff. And some of the experiences that I've seen and read about in various military readings you know, this could be possible. Something very definitely worth experimenting for those of us who are concerned about, you know, hacking the human mind, which is really, if there's a soul, that's where it lives. Now, in Bucket Monkey news, here's a good one. Scientists in Oregon have reached the long-sought goal of cloning monkey embryos and extracting stem cells from them, a potential major step forward towards doing the same thing in people. Monkeys, of course, very close to being a human. If they can clone monkeys, you can bet they're going to be able to start cloning humans. The research has not been published yet or confirmed by other scientists, so there could be some issues. But if true, it offers fresh hope in the field that has been marked by frustration and even fraud. The claim of similar breakthroughs with human embryos in South Korean scientists in 2004 turned out to be false. Weird story that was. The hope that one day such a procedure could be used to create transplant tissues that's genetically matched with ailing patients, because stem cells form all types of tissue. The approach might one day help treat conditions like diabetes and spinal cord injury without fear of rejection of the patient's body. It could also be used to, you know, create super soldiers, but we're only going to focus on the healing aspects, right? Scientists have tried for years to clone monkey embryos and extract stem cells because monkeys are more closely related to humans than other lab animals are. So monkey work has been expected to give hints about how to do this in people. The success was reported earlier this year at a scientific meeting in Australia by Sharkat Maltipilov of the Oregon National Primate Research Center in Portland. It received limited media attention at the time, but the results were now given attention Tuesday by the London newspaper The Independent. Very, very cool. If this proves to be true, because we maybe jumped the gun here a little bit, and it's going to happen, okay? Eventually, we're going to figure this shit out. We're right around the corner from this. But, you know, when this does happen, that's going to be some pretty interesting stuff. And it'll be interesting to see how that technology is applied. I'd be, for those of you out there going to school right now, those university people who are taking, you know, biology and stuff, you should make some predictions on this. You know, just kind of think about how this could be used. Drop me an email, newsreel@randradio.com. Now, here's the money story of the show. In suicide soldier news, sometimes I wish I was wrong. For those of you who have listened to the show for a long time, when this war broke out, I was saying that there was going to be a lot of fucked up kids coming home, and we hadn't seen nothing yet. Well, we're starting to see it, guys. More American military veterans have been committing suicide in the United States. More American military veterans have been committing suicide than U.S. soldiers have been dying in Iraq, it was claimed yesterday. At least 6,256 U.S. veterans took their lives in 2005, just in 2005, at an average of 17 soldiers a day. More than 17 soldiers a day, okay? Well over 100 people a week killing themselves, according to figures broadcast the other night. Former servicemen are more than twice as likely than the rest of the population to commit suicide. Such statistics to the total of 3,863 American military deaths in Iraq since invasion 2003, an average of 2.4 a day according to the website iCasualties.org. The rate of suicides among veterans prompted claims that U.S. was suffering from a mental health epidemic, often linked to post-traumatic stress. Well, what the hell else would it be linked to? Give me a break. CBS News claimed that these figures represented the first attempt to conduct a nationwide count of veteran suicides. The tally was reached by collating suicide data from individual states for both veterans and the general populations, general population from 1995. The suicide rate among Americans as a whole was 8.9% per 100,000, but the level among veterans is at least 18.7. That figure rose to a minimum of 22.9 among veterans aged 20 to 24, almost four times the non-veteran average for people of the same age. There are 25 million veterans in the United States, 1.6 million of whom served in Afghanistan and Iraq. Not everyone comes home from the war wounded, but the bottom line is nobody comes home unchanged, says Paul Rickoff, a former Marine and former founder of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans for America. This is so disturbing to me and so sad to me. And anybody who's ever heard me do the suicide rant, I talk about, you know, you don't kill yourself. You know, you just don't. There's got to be a way you can change your software. And my God, what a failure. If you've got over 100, you know, soldiers killing themselves every week, Jesus Christ. You know, there's got to be something we could do to help these people. I mean, if you know a soldier that's come home, for God's sakes, we need to, I mean, what? Maybe meds or what? Maybe they need to smoke some weed. Maybe they need something. But I'd sooner see these guys on grass than killing themselves at a rate of 17 people a day, 17 children a day killing themselves because they can't handle the visions when they close their eyes. This is absolutely, it's beyond words. I'm not gifted verbally to convey to you the horror of that. And, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't have the words for that. So if you know people, and everybody knows somebody who's going to Iraq, maybe there's people in Iraq listening to this right now, guys. When you get back home, you need to understand that maybe you need to do a format and reinstall. Maybe you need to go to church. Maybe, I don't know what you need to do. But you've got to be, you got to understand that there are people who do care about you. And there is help there, and don't be afraid to ask, because you've earned it. You've earned it. Today's Daily Hack is GetMiro.com, sent to me by Garrett Mann. Miro is a free open source video platform whose creators are aiming at keeping freemedia.works on any OS. Help keep free media. It works on any operating system. Here's what the fight's all about. Miro promotes user-created content, and I think this is what Rant Media is all about, and this is what Garrett Mann said. Let's make sure AfterNow's listener's license does not happen. Hope you will take a look at this. Garrett Mann. Thank you, Garrett Mann. I did take a look at it, and I think everybody out there right now should go check out www.getmiro.com. GetMiro.com. Very, very cool information. Very good way for us to not hate the media, but to become the media. Recommended media this week? Well, we got some Big Sugar. And that's a very good thing sent in by Patrick. And that's all I got for you this week. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. It's been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you can, if you cannot donate, please do distribute. But if you can donate, that's very nice too. Please go to the Dark Atlas website, click on the donate tab on the top right hot link, or send a very carefully disguised envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And I'd also like to say to keep the faith, because I know I do. And it's important for those of us who understand what I'm talking about here to continue to follow through. And I appreciate those of you who do get it. Digital baptisms. Twick is now a morning rock star. I like Morning Star, only now you're a Morning Rockstar, Morning Rockstar being the mix. I thought it was clever. I wanted to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance gathering data. If you have information you'd like to send me, you can reach me at Newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, check out Infected Mushrooms, Vicious Delicious. And I'm going to fade out now with a track I found on YouTube called the Picard Techno Mix. Very, very funny. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what server said. End of line.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Engage.
Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise. Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
Make it so.
First duty of every Starfleet officer is to the troops. Or historical truth, or personal truth. It is the guiding principle on which Starfleet is based. And you can't find it within yourself to stand up and tell the truth. You don't deserve to wear that uniform.
This is becoming a speech.
You're the captain, sir. You're entitled.
Not entitled to ramble on about something everyone knows.
Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise. Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
Make it so.
He just kept talking in one long, incredibly unbroken sentence, moving from topic to topic so that no one had the chance to interrupt. It was really quite hypnotic, incredibly unbroken sentence, moving from topic to topic, incredibly unbroken sentence, moving from topic to topic, moving from topic to topic, quite hypnotic, incredibly unbroken sentence, moving from topic to topic, incredibly. Big from top to top, big from top to top.
You'll have to call again. I'm just leaving. I'm not dressed properly.
My love is a fever, long in tail for that which longer nurses the disease. You'll have to call again. In faith, I do not love thee. With mine eyes, they be a thousand heresy. But 'tis my heart that loves what they despise.